The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. It is page 86 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her 6 months, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. I have an announcement before we begin. The pastor Kang Joo-hun, who served full-time at our church for the last 4 years, will be leaving us starting from today in order to plant a new church. And pastors who have been serving the church school, pastors Lee Jun-yup, Bae Geun-young, who have served middle school and kindergarten classes respectively, and Pastor Lee Ji-soo, who has served toddler classes, will also be resigning in order to serve at new posts. Let us encourage them with applause and bless them, wishing that the grace of our Lord will be abundant in the new works that are that they are taking on. Please think about what is common and what is different about these movies. The Godfather, The Terminator, Public Enemy, which is a Korean movie, Jaws, Speed, and Attack the Gas Station. What is common about these six movies is that their sequels came out. And then what is different about them? For the first three, The Godfather, Terminator, and The Public Enemy, the sequels were just as good as or even better than the preceding one. Whereas what is common about the latter three, The Jaws, The Speed, and Attack the Gas Station, is that the original movie was great, but the sequels were not. And so they didn't do too well at the box office. When a sequel is advertised, the advertisement often says, "The prior movie was just merely a trailer. There is no better movie than this one." But even so, sequels are just so-so in many cases. And it is actually said in the movie industry that there is no sequel that's better than the original, and it's hard for a sequel to be a hit. That a sequel is produced means that the movie was outstanding and it made a lot of money. Therefore, the director of a sequel tries to make the movie bigger, to show the audience more things. Since a sequel is burdened with carrying the original movie, to do that, you need more characters in the movie. But in trying to show too many things, the movie loses focus and the audience has a problem with getting into the movie. If we were to compare today's text to a movie, We can think of it as a kind of a sequel to a movie called God Saving Works, for which God is a director. If the main characters of the first movie were Zechariah and Angel Gabriel, the characters of the sequel are Mary and Angel Gabriel. Now, there's a big gap in status between Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah was a priest who was respected by people, while Mary was just an ordinary girl who was engaged to be married to Joseph, a carpenter, a job which people didn't have a whole lot of amount of respect for. And the background of the first movie was the awe-inspiring temple, while the setting of the sequel is a family living in the deep rural area of Galilee. If we were to judge solely based on characters and settings alone, the former looks like a Hollywood blockbuster, while the sequel looks like a low-budget independent film. But this sequel has a story that cannot be compared to the first one. It is really true that the first movie was just a trailer, and there can be no better prophecy ever, and would not be one in the future. Why? Because the first movie was about the focus was about was on the birth of John, who is to prepare the way of the Lord, while the sequel is about that very person, the Lord, who is coming. Zechariah, who had the job of burning incense at the temple as a priest, heard the news that John, who is to prepare the Lord, will be born. And Elizabeth, who seemed like who couldn't get pregnant, came to have a baby, and 6 weeks have 6 weeks went by, and this is what verse 26 testifies is what happened. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. The angel Gabriel, this time, went to a town called Nazareth of Galilee, according to God's bidding. The verse probably says Nazareth of Galilee because people would know where Nazareth was. It explains where Nazareth is. And he tells us how unknown a country town Nazareth must have been at the time. Have you heard of Gancheon-dong or Inyeon-dong? Or do you know where Eunbongmyeon is? Would you be able to guess if I were to say Chungu Inyeon-dong? Now, Gancheon-dong is a name that preceded the name Inyeon-dong before its name changed. And if I told you Asan City, Eunbongmyeon, would you be able to guess where it is? Gancheon-dong is a name of a village where General Lee Soon-shin was born. Therefore, the road around Inyeon-dong is Chungmuro, a title of General Lee Soon-shin. And Eunbongmyeon is where his grave is. If I came out of the blue without any explanation and asked you, do you know where Gancheon-dong is? Have you ever been to Eunbongmyeon? You would probably ask me where the heck these places are. Nazareth was a place like that. The name Nazareth is not mentioned even once in the Old Testament. Now, Philip, who lived in the same town as Peter and Andrew brothers, became a disciple of Jesus and came to Nathanael to say, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael responded by saying, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? It was a really sarcastic response. The saving work of God began at a place like that. The Bible sometimes reveals where a prophet who received calling from God is from. Elijah was from Gilead of Tishbe. Jeremiah was from Anathoth region. And the place where David defeated Goliath of Palestine, who was a champion warrior, was the Valley of Elah. The place where Ezekiel, who was dragged to Babylon as a captive, received word from God was the river Chebar. The reason that the Bible specifically mentions places where God's words were heard and where his works took place is because God works right here, here on earth, and in the middle of the history of the world. This is why the place where we happen to be standing is the very place where God is working. Whether I am at home, at work, or at school, wherever, that place is the very place where God is working. The position where I happen to hold may be a position respected and acknowledged by people, or a position, or it could be a position that is looked down by others, or which doesn't get any attention from people, but the work of God is not obstructed by that. What is important is how we are used in that place. Verse 27 continues to testify as follows. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The Jewish people thought that marriage was really, really important. Therefore, the parents promised marriage when children were still young. Didn't we do the same in the past in our country too? Jewish people thought that marriage was such a big thing in a person's life that the parents made marriage vows with other parents while their children were still young. The stage where a marriage is promised by parents and it becomes accepted by the children was called engagement. If one side ended up not liking the partner that the parents had chosen, then it was possible to nullify the promise made between the parents. But once an engagement took place, it was absolutely binding. This engagement period usually lasted a year. And during this one-year period, the two engaged parties did not have the rights and obligations as a man and a wife yet, but others treated them as if they were married and referred to them as so-and-so's wife and so-and-so's husband. When a man died during this period and a woman survived, people called a woman surviving a woman a virgin widow. So this had the same legal meaning as marriage. When an engagement was broken, this was not just breaking off of a promise to marry, it was referred to as a divorce. When Lot was living in Sodom, two angels sent by God came to see him, and the angels told Lot that the sins of Sodomites before God were so great that they were sent there to destroy the city. The Genesis chapter 19, 14 tells us about how Lot responded to this news. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. The last two daughters were engaged to be married. When Lot heard the news about the destruction of the city, he told the news to the men who were pledged to be married to them, and they treated it as a joke. So although Lot's two daughters were not yet married, in other words, they were just engaged, the Lord called those men sons-in-laws. Generally, marriage ceremony was held when the engagement period was over. The wedding feast continued for a week or two. And it was Jewish law that the bride and groom officially became a married couple after the feast. It was during Mary's engagement period that Angel Gabriel came to see her. Verse 28 tells us what Angel Gabriel said to Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What Angel Gabriel said to Mary seems perplexing. If we were a president of a college or a high government official or a well-to-do politician, and we get a phone call from Blue House in the middle of the night, or somebody from there visits us, we may think, "Oh, at last, I am going to be a minister." But if a call came to a person like me, I would say, "Wrong number. Maybe there is another person with the same name," and hang up. Because things like that have nothing to do with me. Now, at the time, most women married early. And according to the customs at the time, judging from the customs of that time, Mary was probably in her teens. It's around the time of being a freshman of a high school. So we can imagine how surprised she must have been. The verse 29 continues to testify as follows. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, in the text that precedes the scene in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, we are told how surprised Zechariah was upon hearing his news. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by Lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now Zechariah was so scared that he shook all over. The reason that he was surprised was because he saw the messenger of the Lord, Gabriel, standing at the right side of the altar. If somebody suddenly appeared in front of you when you're walking fast in a dark alleyway at night, how surprised you would be. This is similar to how Zechariah felt. But Mary's surprise is even greater. It is to be surprised not only in your body, but down to your bones, to every nerve. The Mary is surprised by what Angel said more than the fact that Angel Gabriel appeared. If you're walking a dark alleyway at night and somebody suddenly appears and says, "Don't move," and holds onto your clothes, the fact that you were surprised by somebody suddenly appearing would not be that important. as you're thinking, who is this person holding on to my clothes, and what does he mean by that? And whether he has a weapon, as you think these thoughts, you would feel the chill going down to your bones. This is how Mary was, the degree to which Mary was surprised. But Mary, even while she was greatly surprised, thought deeply about what the greeting might mean. Why would the angel be saying to me, "Greetings, who you are highly favored"? When we read the Bible or when we listen to a sermon during service, we have a tendency to gloss over when we run across a verse or hear about a verse that we're really familiar with. This is because we think we already know it. When we are captivated by such thought, the God has less room to work in us. And there are times when we come across a verse that we don't know really well and we decide to ignore it because even when we hear it, we don't understand it well anyway. So we have to be able to think, regardless of what words we happen to read or hear, what these words are trying to convey to us at that time. There are many materials out there for a quiet time. And I happen to take one such materials and use them to reflect on the words for about 6 years from college. In the beginning, I thought that if I read the entire Bible and reflected on the Bible with the material, it would later serve as a really good reference for sermons. So every day I took really detailed notes in small prints and empty spaces of the booklets. But when I became the third-year student of the seminary, I threw away all of the materials that I had collected. This was because when I read over what I had reflected on in the past, I came to realize that the words had been given to me at that point in my life, and they were not the words that God was giving to me in the present. As you continue your faith journey for a long time, you will come to read the Bible many times over, and you can hear sermons on the same text from many different pastors. The greatest obstacle to God speaking to us then is our prejudices. We must constantly think about what message God is trying to give us now. A little after Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, Joseph came to know that his fiancée conceived a baby. Now, Matthew chapter 1:20 testifies about what happened to Joseph then. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The news of Mary conceiving a child probably threw Joseph into a spin and made him really worried. But when Joseph thought about what had happened to him, like Mary, the messenger of God appeared to him too in his dreams. The writer of the psalm professed as follows in Psalm 94:19. "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." We come across many things that we can't help but worry about as we live. When we are in that situation, we should look quietly to God and to think. When we do that, we are sure to hear, each of us are sure to hear the still small voice of God speaking to us. Today is the first Sunday of the Advent. And Advent is a time made up of 4 weeks during which we reflect on Jesus, who came as a man to save human beings dying from sin and to wait for his return. All ceremonial seasons of the church begin with the Advent. The true meaning of Advent is accepting our status as the favored ones who receive grace without a condition by God sending Jesus Christ to us. The reason Angel Gabriel went to visit Mary was not because she was the most beautiful woman in all of Israel. It was not because she had a high social position. And she was not economically well off. She was getting married to a poor carpenter. Further, she never prayed, "Please let me be the one to give birth to Messiah." What happened to her was a unilateral grace from God. This is why the text repeats twice that you have been highly favored. When God comes to us, He doesn't come because of our qualifications. He did not come because we petitioned, "God, please, please come to me." We did not expect coming of God. In fact, we were actually in rebellion against Him when He came to us. So the time of the Advent is a season when God confirms for us that we are the highly favored ones. God shows favor on us oftentimes to a degree that goes beyond our thinking. Grace comes embracing us through people we didn't dream of and through situations that we couldn't have imagined. General Naaman of Aram also received favor from God that he didn't expect. Second Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 3 tell us how he became cured of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." From this girl's perspective, General Naaman is a kind of an enemy. He made war with her country, Israel, and turned her country into a battlefield. He was responsible for that. Not only that, he separated her from her family. We don't know whether her parents were killed or were captured and sent off to live as slaves in another soldier's house. But it seems only natural to us that she should fast and pray all night, "God, don't let Naaman's leprosy be healed until it kills him. May the germ cause his body to lose all sensation and may suffer a great deal as he die." But this girl told her mistress, the wife of Naaman, that there is a prophet in Samaria of Israel and General Naaman will get healing if he goes to him. Judging based on exteriors only, the girl is no comparison to General Naman. He's the general of a country that won the war, and she's a prisoner of war of a losing country. Naman has power and wealth, and this girl only has her own body. It seems to us that grace should flow from Naman to the girl. And yet, the heart of the girl that had mercy on her master cured the leprosy of her master. When we look back, we realize that the touch of God did not always come from people who seem much better off than we are. And it came not necessarily because we had some special qualifications or condition that deserved grace. God sent people to us, often people who do not seem better than we are. And the grace of God came from places that we least expected. The saving work of God, sending Jesus Christ to this earth, began in earnest with an unknown woman from a deep country. Then who are the Marys of this age? Each of us is Mary. In the same way that Mary embraced Jesus Christ, each of us is a person who are carrying Jesus Christ. The reason that we are able to live a life with Jesus Christ is because God has shown favor to us. From the moment that we accept this grace, the sequel of God's saving grace, a sequel that is impossible to compare with the earlier stage of our lives, began. Let us pray. Father God, who came to a woman in a country outside of Galilee, Nazareth, and made her the highly favored one, who put an end to darkness in the age of disobedience by making her to have Jesus Christ, who was to start the saving works of God. On this first Sunday of Advent, thank you for reminding us that no matter what lowly position we happen to be in, it's no limitation to becoming a person favored by you. That no matter how unworthy we may think of ourselves, we are never excluded from your favor. May we all become persons favored by God so that we can live as Marys who have embraced Jesus Christ. In the same way that the Lord who was embraced by Mary fought back the darkness of this earth and gave us eternal life, may Christ, who is in us, sow the truth of God on this earth and bring forth the saving grace of God through us. And so may each of our lives become a sequel of faith, hope, and love directed by God, which is incomparable to the life lived before. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.